Good morning. Let's just get in a little bit more. Hold on. We're going to do this one to Telegram as well, because crypto is Telegram. There we go. Hello, it is Brian of London here in the forest in Tel Aviv, Bereshit Forest in the middle of Tel Aviv. Oh, every now and then a slight breeze wafts past me because it is once again summer hot here. Let's see. Oh, my watch is not going to tell me. It's 30 degrees or more. And I've been walking. I'm waiting for my Italian culturally appropriated little coffee and some water. And we've had a busy week here with the blockchain, cryptocurrency, Libra, Facebook, Twitter, Google court case. So I don't know how many of you will have seen that Andrew and I were on something called Block TV, which is yet another brilliant... It's obvious that this stuff happens in Israel. Just, the world is a very large place, and the economic activity across the world is very large. But the disproportionate amount of that activity that goes on in Israel is just totally astonishing to behold. So, you know, when we get a call from an entire media station devoted, I'm in Tel Aviv, I'm in Israel, I'm from England, and before that from South Africa. When we get a call from a dedicated, hey, Chris Wilson in the morning, Sir Chris, No Agenda's resident jingle expert and the creator of some amazing tunes. You just have to listen to the No Agenda show to find out how good Chris Wilson is. Anyway, when we get a call from a media startup that just does news about the crypto industry, which is a very big industry now, by the way, despite Facebook, Google and Twitter trying to crush it, it still exists and it's big. Sorry about the noise today. And of course, if there's a startup of a media company with a beautiful studio, a proper control room, doing wonderful graphics, putting together a real well-produced proper TV segment that runs 15 minutes, goes into some proper detail, and that's like a niche media product that is the way that the world is going. We're not really interested in this broad generalities that CNN will cover, or ABC or NBC or these things. No, people want the detail on a subject they're interested in, and Block TV provides that. And of course, they're based in Ramat Gan in Israel. So I, in fact, uncharacteristically for me, I hopped on a bus to get to Ramat Gan from Petah Tikva. I did not drive because parking in Ramat Gan is ferociously expensive and the traffic to get there is horrible. And I actually took a bus and it worked. Who knew I would be taking buses? Don't tell Facebook's lawyers that I had to take a bus. Anyway, so we go to Block TV. We filmed a really good segment. Andrew explains the case so well. He's more lawyer than me. And in that setting on Block TV, he was really good because he went into a great deal of detail. So I'm learning all the time the case because I don't know the ins and outs of Australian law the way he does. But and I chipped in with some stuff to do with the whole deplatforming and this whole media. You know, the right-wing media is going down a path of blaming this all on an ideological banning of conservatives and right-wingers. And I don't believe that that's the case to the degree that the right-wing think. I am much more closely aligned with the theories and the ideas of Adam Curry on the No Agenda show, which are talking and looking about the intersection of the giant media buying companies. I'll give you an example, WPP. Look them up. They spent $8 billion, just one company, on behalf of their clients. What they are is they're a middleman. They're a fully integrated advertising company. So they produce adverts for customers, and these are the big customers, Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, all of these people. I don't know their exact client roster, but it will be these types of companies. They produce the adverts, then they buy the television space, the Google space, the Facebook space, and the Instagram to put these adverts out. They mastermind entire campaigns. They spend $8 billion on Google and Facebook. So when these guys come up with a plan that says everything has to be brand safe, and Google and Facebook are basically beholden to them. Google is an advertising company. It makes so much money from advertising, and bugger all, it loses money almost everywhere else. Facebook is an advertising company. It makes no money on anything except adverts. And a few things happen with that case. So I just want to give you a pitch up front. We got a lot more people signing up who have been affected by the crypto ad ban and who are putting in claims for damages. And that was great. That's the no win, no fee. If you were in the crypto business in early 2018, when these ad bans came into effect, you can sign up, no win, no fee. If we win anything, you win something. 70% of the damages will go to that class of people. Take a sip if you have your beverage. Thank you, Scott Adams. And the other thing we got, we've actually had people sending in money to help run the case. I am not pitching this as an investment opportunity, okay? Down the line, it's possible that it can get back money if we win and all of this stuff, but this is an ideological play. This is like giving money to Roger Stone's Legal Defense Fund or Laura Loomer or Tommy Robinson. You should regard it in that light. This one has the chance, like a lottery ticket, of paying out one day. But I really wouldn't encourage this as a get-rich scheme. Now, we have had some investing money come in as well, because especially from people who are in the crypto business, they're used to making very, 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 very risky investments. And they consider this to be both an ideological investment in what we're trying to do. And we're doing nothing short. And that's why... I'll give you some more background on this. Andrew came to me with this case over a year ago. He first told me, and I said he's mad. And he told me that the damages could be $200, $300, $400 billion. $400 billion. I said, well, you know, round it up to $500 billion. It's like, I said to him, stop saying that. Nobody will take you seriously if you say you're going to court for $500 trillion. It's like, no, you can't say that. And then 2 weeks ago, I changed my mind. 2 weeks ago, when Facebook launched Libra, which is their bid to take over the cryptocurrency industry that they have spent the last year and a half trying to destroy because they see it as a threat, I said to Andrew, no, we're going to do two different things now. First, we're going to say half a trillion dollars, $500 billion, we're going to say that, and we're going to push for some general press on this, and we're going to link it to Libra. And that's the video I made last week, which I cut out a section and did a short video on, that went well on Twitter. And that's had a big effect, and hopefully it can be shared more widely in the cryptocurrency space. Because right now, I'm not actually interested if the rest of the world fully understands what we're up to. I want the crypto industry to understand what we're up to and get behind this, because there's no downside for anybody in the existing crypto industries. There's no downside to this for them. If we are wildly successful, if we actually manage to get damages in the somewhere in the billions of dollars, we can actually send that money back to the crypto industry through cryptocurrencies. And the mere fact that we would be publicly putting money into the crypto industry would drive up the whole ecosystem, even for those who were not part of this lawsuit. So, and the other thing is that as much as I like and respect the cases of people who have been deplatformed for ideological reasons, like Alex Jones, Laura Loomer, Roger Stone, all of this stuff, all of these people treated badly, Tommy Robinson, obviously, myself, kicked off Facebook. As much as I respect them and their legal cases, they're suing largely for themselves. Dennis Prager, they're suing because they've been wronged and to try and get some damages that are somewhere commensurate with their losses from being deplatformed. And whilst it would be wonderful if one of them won $10 million, Facebook is a company that makes $60 billion a year profits, not even revenue, profits of $60 billion. They make hundreds of billions hundreds of millions of dollars a day is the level of Facebook's economic activity. And they've got billions and billions of dollars of cash. So in order to actually damage these companies, it's not going to be done by Prager getting them YouTube to unblock his videos and pay him $10 million or his court costs. That isn't going to make any difference to Google or Facebook. Our case is the first case proposed, you know, and governments could find them these numbers, but governments don't have the balls, actually. Governments don't have the balls to go against these companies. So that's why our case is important. You can chip in. Fundition is the site we're using. And again, we're not using GoFundMe. We're not using Patreon or any of these other Silicon Valley-based ideas that are prone to deplatforming. We're using a thing called Fundition. You've never heard of it. It's built on top of something called the Steam blockchain, which you've also probably never heard of. I'm using it. Andrew's using it. You go on Fundition. The site looks okay. There's some, you know, rough edges, but you can donate there with any cryptocurrencies. And if you donate with a cryptocurrency, there's a very, very small fee. I mean, around a 1% that's involved in the transfer of that cryptocurrency to the one we receive it in. So that's very, very low compared to these GoFundMe sites and so on that take 5, 10, 15% of donations. No, this is very low. If you pay by PayPal, I think the percentage is higher. I don't know exactly what it is on the back end, 6, 7, 8%, something like that. But it's in line with what GoFundMe and these other sites pay. So you can go in, you can chip in $50, $100. You will receive, we have to onboard a lot of people, but if you want this, we'll record it on our systems, but we will give you a cryptographic way of holding your share in this court case. Just it might turn out to be worthless. You know, we might spend a lot of money suing them and just get a lot of press and attention. But I actually don't think so. I don't want to be... You learn this with court cases. You can never be absolute. But we've learned some things this week which I can't talk about. We've looked into some other case history. And the Libra thing is really, it hasn't dramatically affected the actual lawsuit that we will bring, but it has dramatically strengthened the way in which we can explain it to the court. And we've looked into some other case law because we're now role-playing really hard. What are the defenses that Facebook, Twitter, and Google can come back at us with? And we're role-playing those, we're doing the legal work on how to counter those and what they could be. And we found that we dreamt up a few of their potential legal comebacks, and we checked, and you know, there's precedent that says they can't do this or it won't go above that court. This is not a joke. Andrew, go watch his appearance on Block TV, and remember, obviously we cannot tell you everything about the case. We have to it's we're playing poker. We have to be sitting, and we are, we're sitting here with a damn good hand, but I'm not telling you exactly what it is. And so that's consuming a lot of my activism time, because I think it's very valuable. I think I'm going to end this Periscope here, but stay tuned. I'm actually going to do a separate Periscope. I'm going to jump right back on in the next 5 minutes, because I'm going to talk about He Who Must Not Be Named in Great Britain. Anyway, I am Brian of London. I'm in my forest in Tel Aviv. I am hyped and psyched to be basically, at least like Winston Churchill. Okay, I'll tell you one last little story. Winston Churchill, at the end of The Gathering Storm, which is his first book of his 6-book series on the history of World War II from the perspective of the guy in charge of one of the major countries in it, The Gathering Storm is his book discussing the build-up to the war, and The Gathering Storm ends on the night before Winston Churchill becomes Prime Minister. And the last page, you have to read the last page, I'll publish a link to it later, but the last thing he says is that he went to bed that night with no need of cheering dreams, because he felt that he had now the facts at his disposal. I'm paraphrasing and I can't remember it verbatim. He had the facts at his disposal, and facts are better than dreams. And I'm in that position now. I've got the facts. I know what this case is, And I've got a way, I've got a plan, and I've got a way to put the plan into effect that will actually do some damage to Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and the entire centralized internet model. And to get us away from that, that was a bad fork that we went down. We had a decentralized internet with lots of people's websites. We veered off into this fork where we think the internet is Google, or the internet is Facebook, or the internet is Twitter. It's not. We need to kill that fork off and go back down a fork towards decentralized. My website, your website. We all have different interests. We meet on sites around those interests. They come up, they go down, but nobody controls the whole thing. We've got to get away from that centralized model. And I've got the facts, and I've got the case, and you can join in. JPB Liberty. Follow brianoflondon.me. There's countless links to it everywhere. Read up what I've put out there. Donate if you can. Chip in. Donate to me if you like my videos. And if you were affected by the crypto ad ban, get your claim in, because we're going to win some big damages. All right, Brian of London here. From the park in Tel Aviv. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom.